Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. I'm very happy that I've not taken position for Oliver and Tony. When his song came out, I felt that there was something wrong with this song. You know, I could have easily taken some of the bouts like about fat welfare recipients and concluded, oh, well, he's a right winger for sure. I could have taken Dennis' comments against Israel and his exposition of the dancing Israelis. I could have taken this as well. He's a based right winger, but there was something wrong. A true right winger does not complain that they don't have enough. A true right winger doesn't feel entitled to employment. And yet that was underlying some of the other sentences in his song. And so I've always kept my distance and I've not been too enthusiastic about this song going viral. And I've always said, we'll see about him. And now he's getting commented on because basically he went on the internet and started saying that he wasn't taking side, that he was not left, not right, that his message is about local communities and anti-politics, the kind of, oh yeah, they're all corrupt and we are better just thinking about our local communities. But this kind of blindness to federal politics as a cost in and of itself. Ultimately, the political system, you have two choices in the US and it's a binary political system. And that means you have to side with the least evil. And people who fail to understand this and who fail to be able to say, all right, even if I don't agree with everything about Trump, I will still take Trump because under Trump, America is better. The Brett Weinsteins of this world who cannot help themselves but to join the binary fight with all of the imperfections that it implies, they are effectively leading to people like Joe Biden to be in power. And the same way I would say it to Brett Weinstein, I will say it to Oliver and Tony, your appeal to ignorance and uninvolvement and a general talk to the hand to all politicians, that leads nowhere. It leads nowhere but to let the more activist, normie, leftist win. So as far as I'm concerned, you're a leftist. If you feel entitled to a job, if you complain that your salary is not enough because you are offering a work that is easily replaceable, and if on top of it you deploy a cultural message that aims at people to disengage from politics so that people like Joe Biden can take control of the country instead of Trump, as far as I'm concerned, you are effectively a leftist. And I'm very happy that I didn't fall for it like many right-wing, conservative, center-right commentators who all fell for this Oliver and Tony. And even he got some mention from Ron DeSantis in the Republican debate, but he's never been a right-winger, and we'll see this through his statements. End of the line, Joel says, JF, fellow Canadian vlogger LP, aka I Hypocrite, recently stated a financial position that is somewhat opposite to yours. He said that one should reveal all their wealth / assets to your woman and you should not have separate bank accounts. Is this a wise position in the modern world? I would love if we were in a world where this is how it works, but I cannot. It would be very responsible for me to counsel this to people knowing the stats. In a world where 50% of the marriages will end up in divorce, 80% of them initiated by the female, forget it. If I give this recommendation, it means you will be, you will have 50% chance, at the very least, 50% chance that everything that you've revealed to your wife will be used against you. If we were at 90%, maybe then it would be worth it. 95-90% of marriages staying solid. But forget it, at 50%, if you like betting your entire wealth on a coin flip, why don't you go to the casino? At least the casino can give you a fair coin flip. Your wife knows that she wants to divorce you and she won't tell it to you. So no, I'm not a guy to coin flip on my entire wealth and assets. Generally, unless you have unbreakable confidence and you are absolutely certain of the loyalty of your wife, you should definitely keep everything secret from her. They are hostile beings, and they will take your children, they will take your wealth, and they will use it against you. And if they know that you have wealth, they will deploy a strategy against you to try to drain a lot of it from you. And they will eventually say it to the judge that you have this wealth. It's better if your wife doesn't know about what you have, because once she divorces you, takes the kids, she's going to be able to solicit some of it for child support, alimony, and she will know that you're capable of still bouncing back. It's better that she doesn't know anything, so that she's playing against a hidden hand. Of course, if you want to be the naive guy who goes out there and who believes that the statistics don't apply to me because I've picked my wife with the skills of the chooser that you don't have, well, if you think you're better than everyone, go for it. Go for it and bet your entire life on a coin flip. Personally, after 5 divorces, all initiated by my exes, some of them super hostile, some of them leading to the kidnapping of loved ones, I will not follow I hypocrites counseling here. I will keep wealth hidden, and that is what I recommend. Keep wealth in bitcoins. Lendald Guntram says, only invest in your wives and elsewhere too what you are willing to lose. Yeah, that is very, very good practice to have. If you have a new wife, if you are not certain of her demonstrated loyalty over a decade or more, you should basically consider all money shared with her or exposed to her as being something you throw out the window. There are situations where you want to play big and throw lots of money out the window. Maybe she's worth it. Maybe she's beautiful. Maybe you have lots of money. But if we're talking about the minimal money to buy a house, like somewhere else, remake a life, find a new girlfriend, I would definitely keep an amount like this hidden. Gino Fano says, sure, but the absolute certainty is something that most 25-year-old guys will always think. The good advice is the stronger one. That tells them they are ignorant. Yeah, exactly. If you think that you're out of the system and that these stats don't apply to you, you will be raped by life. Good luck. Libs of TikTok says, Disney men dressed as women, wearing dresses, greeting children at some of their attractions, received both of these this week from disturbed visitors. So a new practice at Disney, their employees are now doing drag type of character impersonation. After all, why couldn't you be the Bobbidi Boutique Belle? whatever that character is. They can't discriminate. We had classically a thin woman playing this role. Shouldn't we have a fat man also? That is the current state of Disney. Do not go to Disney. The cutest video ever. An orangutan friending some tigers. That is very cute. Unbelievable. Those are very powerful machines. I mean, the orangutan could kill the tiger under certain circumstances. The tiger could definitely kill the orangutan, but somehow, with tigers, somehow you're either a deer for them and they want to just bite your neck, or you're just in the club and you are part of the family. Look at this. He's feeding them milk. I mean, just little cats, little domestic cats, when they start using their nails to plant into you because they want to hug you and they want to be close to you, just this is painful. I mean, sometimes I was on my computer, tick, 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 and I had very young little cats, and they would just jump onto you and escalate you like this. I can't imagine the tiger nails into the monkey skin. That must be pretty rough, but I'm sure they seem affectionate in a way that they probably try to minimize the pain. Rebel, the racist race car, says those are not adult animals. Yeah, it seems that they are young tigers. I'm guessing that an adult tiger might be more dangerous and might quickly revert to the biting. Here we have a guy who knocks himself with a golf ball. Pretty impressive, the trajectory of the golf ball on this one.
Playing a game of whack fuck here. Whack!
Fuck. Ouch! Right in the head.
Playing a game of whack fuck here. Whack!
The ball does this, bang, bang, and then poof to his head. Look at this. It was a fraction of a second. It popped on his head and goes back.
Playing a game of whack fuck here. Whack. Fuck.
Ouch. Why is it that the guy in advance knows whack fuck? Has that been added after through editing? Mark D's channel says, JF, how intelligent is such a monkey? Or maybe ape. Could you estimate their IQ? There are some researchers. I've seen some conferences where they do this kind of trying to have a test that is valid to for testing monkeys or apes, and then that is also valid for humans, and they try to see what's the distance between them. I think that it's always going to be test specific, so I've seen claims like they had made a measurement and it was something like between 50 and 80. I don't quite remember because I didn't believe it as I saw it, because it's like the distance on this scale is totally a statistical artifact. Like, we could have decided that 15 IQ points is that big or that big. It's like, it's how you make the test and how you calculate the statistics of it that will determine what's the value of a unit. It's not a natural unit, so it has no meaning. But yeah, I've seen claims like this. The fact is, they have a different type of intelligence. They don't have a mathematical and symbolic intelligence. We do. So that's a big challenge for having any test, because anything that we do in IQ test in humans is all symbolic. Even the more basal tests like the Raven matrices, they are symbols ultimately, and monkeys and apes do not have what it takes to handle symbols. They are definitely deficient on this from a human perspective. So yeah, they won't learn signs, they won't learn complex logical operations, they won't learn things that require imagination, they can't formulate new sentences. They can learn things that you can deceive yourself into thinking, oh, look, this chimpanzee learned sign language. But their use of sign language is very robotic. they do not create new combinations in the way a human will. So you have to be careful in interpreting ape intelligence. It's not as high as a lot of people would want it to be. Now, you have to find beauty in nature and looking at their complex behavior as they develop in a way that is evolutionarily relevant to them. Even the smallest animals, the way they exploit the environment dynamically, the way they forget a patch of food and go to the next, and they make decisions related to migration, larval stage switches to adult stage. All of this is very beautiful and very complex. But the problem is we generally don't capture this kind of beauty and complexity in an IQ test, because IQ has this very human bias to it of forward thinking, creative thinking, planning of the future in ways that were never encountered before. But that's what human life is. It's a projection into the possible and the plan, the future. KHRS says, Jeff, mute David and please explain the utility of this game of Whack the Sack. Well, I'm not going to, if you're sending me a surprise vid and you tell me in advance that it's people hitting their own balls, I'm not going to play it. Blanket says, Jeff, did you know some orangutans can unlock locks? They are very intelligent. Well, orangutans can drive a plane too, you know? As John Donoghue, the man who creates these brain-machine interfaces, once said in a conference, I can have the monkey drive a plane if you want. Here's a button that says automatic plane driving. I put it in front of the monkey. The monkey presses it. I'm giving him a banana. And the plane will rise in the sky and everything's going to look very good. But you had the monkey press a auto flight button. So yes, you can teach a monkey that, hey, put this little piece of metal and then switch it toward the right. It is just actions that monkeys can do. It doesn't illustrate an understanding. Yeah, David Smith asked the right question. Have they read Locke, though? Have they read The Philosopher? Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, I want to ask you again about Twitter verification. Now I have some more information. The company doing this for X is called O10X, Authentex, Dutch security company, ICTS, and it was established by former Shin Bet intelligence operatives. Are you still okay with providing your personal info to a foreign company? Well, I've said my position on this before. I haven't researched this in detail. I said that I disagree with Elon doing this. I disagree with us having to, especially for anonymous account who want to rise to fame on the internet, there should be an option for them, and there should be a non-punishing option. That's important. We cannot punish people for being anonymous, and to force them to send their info to a foreign jurisdiction where we will have no power on them, where they can use it however they want and there won't be any recourse, is very unwise of Elon to do this. That being said, it doesn't change my decision. I would validate my identity, but I don't care. I work under my real name. I'm not a man who relies on hiding what I do. I do everything in public, but I have respect for people who choose to do otherwise. And the internet is great when we can have anonymity. But I don't need that anonymity. I make sure that each of my acts are always legal in Canada. I always follow the laws, and the laws keep... There's always new laws and new things you can't say in Canada. I follow all of the laws, and therefore I have no reason to hide what I do, and certainly not on Twitter. I mean, everything I do on Twitter is public. Even when I talk with someone in DM, I talked to them as if I was public. Blanket says, Jeff, when you said that they add fuck after the video, did you mean that they dub that in? Yeah, well, I mean, did they edit it in? I use the word editing, so yes, that's what I mean. Why is the guy in advance and announcing that it's a game of whack fuck? And then the ball does whack, and then the guy who receives the ball on his head says fuck. So it's like, what is it? Was it premonition, pre-programming? Are the lizards among us? Those are the questions I'm asking, Blankets. Raz Alert says, three people have been shot during a White Sox game at Chicago's Guaranteed Rate Field. They tried to make a baseball game, and then there was a music show planned, but they had to cancel the music show because three people got shot. Due to technical issues, yeah, well, three people got shot is the technical issue. Tonight's post-game concert has been cancelled. We apologize for any inconvenience and appreciate your understanding. Fans holding on-field passes will receive a refund to the original purchaser's credit card. And people are booing. Well, you can't have good thing. If you have a certain level of violence in society, everything falls. You can't have music because there's going to be some tragedy happening before you can even play the music. Ukraine declares Philip Morris an international sponsor of war. The Ukrainian government has labeled two tobacco giants international sponsors of war, condemning Philip Morris and Japan Tobacco for continuing to conduct business in Russia and paying taxes to the country's government. But I got some bad news for you, Ukraine. By the standard you're applying here, all corporations of America are the worst warmongering corporations. They have contributed to decades of American imperialism. If all you need to be labeled a sponsor of war is this is the fact that you paid taxes in a country that makes war, American corporations aren't doing good. Plague prevention. Someone sent us this, apparently at a local park. Plague prevention. In the wild, a disease called Sylvatic plague is decimating prairie dog colonies. Scientists are dusting burrows to reduce fleas that may carry the bacteria and are experimenting with a vaccine distributed through food. Above, cubes containing the vaccine are placed near prairie dog burrows. Right, peanut butter flavor attracts this Gunnison prairie dog to food containing vaccine. I see where this is going, okay, guys? This is... They're gonna do this with us. You are the next prairie dog. This is... Can we leave the prairie dogs be? Because what's going to happen? You are protecting them against a disease. You are changing their evolutionary strategy. And now they are all about, you're going to get extorted by the fucking prairie dogs. It's like, the prairie dogs will evolve to show their deaths to you. Because you reward them with peanut butter cubes. And vaccines, that if the vaccines do work, it will help them survive. So what you're going to have is you're going to have animals specializing in sacrificing some of their loved ones to the human god, the human Canadian ecologist. And their evolutionary strategy is, hey, if we just allow some of our children to go die just there, just in front of the camera, eventually we get peanut butter cubes and we're safer. So you're going to make them dependent of human intervention for survival. That is not a good idea. Eventually, there's going to be more prairie dogs dying because they haven't gone through the necessary evolutionary step of being equipped with the proper immunological system to survive. You are keeping them from evolving, the same way you're keeping humans from evolving. Preventing disease is important to conservation efforts for both prairie dogs and endangered black-footed ferrets. Visit these ferrets in our small mammal house. Conservationists are some of the most annoying people. We have to stop it altogether. Nature goes forward. We stop playing God. The North Remember says, playing God and telling nature they know best, nature laughs over a longer timeline. Exactly. You're creating more suffering with this. And on top of it, there's the creepy aspect of this looks like a plan for humans. I mean, they're going to give the peanut butter flavor and it's going to drag the poorest humans, you know, who can't afford food. It's like, hey, free food. Remember the New York strategy? Oh, a free burger. Oh, I love this burger. Disgusting New York mayor eating his ridiculous burger that didn't even look good. Oh, a burger for vaccine. Why not? Trans child who was chemically castrated in order to look like a girl. Sometimes I think I'm a boy, kinda. Will you love me if I'm a boy? Holy shit. This child has been turned into a female-looking person, very young in their life, by this mom. And now, oh, I feel like a boy. Yeah, well, it's too late. She's been sterilized with chemicals.
Estrogen treatment is irreversible and would make Josie sterile. But Josie and her mother never doubted it was the right thing until...
They never doubted it was the right thing. Let's see.
Dr. Olson had a decision.
You are in the perfect place to start on blockers.
And she promises to begin giving her estrogen, female hormones, in 2 years.
Around 13. That's what I think. Yes, you're not going to develop breast buds on the blockers. But you're not going to wait until 16 to start. You know that, okay?
Josie received the blockers as an implant in her arm.
It's okay if you cry.
This looks like doubt to me. This looks like nature trying to tell you something through the eyes.
So with all the bravery she could muster,
you're gonna feel a little bit of a...
Josie held on tight. As another chapter...
That's the signal of nature. Never let a third party under your skin.
...opened in this young girl's life.
See those tears? This was nature's way to keep you from doing that. Let's keep listening, though.
An unexpected conversation happened one afternoon.
Well, there are some people who could have expected this, you know?
But on the inside, where nobody else can see?
Yeah.
Are you a boy or are you a girl?
Maybe I'm a boy inside and a girl outside.
Really?
And now, what was originally a biological boy feels like a boy inside. What are the chances? 99.9% are the chances.
Yeah, is that true?
Only you know the answer to that. So if you wanted to grow...
That is not a... In no field of life is that a nice way to raise a child. Only you can say that. No, they need guidance. They are confused and they would need someone to tell them, well... You have a penis, you're a boy.
Grow up to be a man?
Yeah.
Would you tell me?
Oh, what an open mother. She is even opened to the retransition to the original sex.
Yeah.
Hey, if you wanted to grow up and be a man, you could.
Wow, very opened.
I want to be... Sometimes I think I'm a boy, sort of, but I want to be a girl.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think I'm a boy, sort of, but blah, 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 while you're a girl.
Will you love me if I'm a boy?
Of course.
Will you love me if I'm a boy? See, this child is like a rat in a maze who has done this whole thing because this child was noticing that the mother was sending reinforcement signaling whenever she was talking about being a girl. Will you love me if I'm a boy? That is a child who is certain that their mother loves them when they're a girl, but uncertain about whether she will love them when they're a boy.
Of course. I would love you no matter what. I always have, and I always will.
It was the first time Vanessa ever heard Josie sound uncertain.
Lie. Guaranteed lie. The first time she heard Josie sound uncertain. Hey. That sounds uncertain right here.
Wait until 16 to start. You know that, okay?
And here's the doctor. Saying you're not going to wait until 16. You know that. Well, I haven't seen any evidence that the child knows that.
Josie received the blockers as an implant in her arm.
Josie has never looked hesitant in her entire life.
It's okay if you cry.
So with all the bravery she could muster,
you're gonna feel a little bit of a...
Josie held on tight.
Never was there any sign that this was a bad idea. Holy shit. And yes, coercive language from the doctor. You know that. You're not going to wait until 16. The problem is a doctor in a position of authority that says that to a child, the child thinks that there's some sort of obligation. And even the parent can think that. A doctor has to be careful with this kind of language. They are presenting it as there is no other choice. You have to do this. Cloud Warmer says, how come the default is to give them the opposite hormones and not the ones of their birth sex? I feel like a girl. Okay, let's give you some testosterone. Absolutely. That is the ultimate demonstration of the leftist desire, because I think that if you went along with the biological sex, there would be much less consequences on reproduction. How is that not being tested? They will tell you, oh, well, how do they call it? There's a process where they try to turn you from gay to not gay. Conversion therapy. Conversion therapy has been proven not to work. And it's like, well, have you tried injecting testosterone? Have we tried? Cloud Warmer says, if you want to have breakfast, you can. Okay, I'll have breakfast if I want to. I don't want to right now. Mark D's channel sends $10. Thank you so much. He says, salut, JF. Thanks for the show. The mom looks like she would not give a fair shake the male side of things ever. She's probably been bad-mouthing men and boys since he was a baby. Definitely something has happened with signaling from the mom here, because in just a minute-long review of video from this child, you can see a child that is terrified at the idea of being a boy. It's a child that has been rewarded through reinforcement learning, a rat in a maze, with peanut butter cubes, literally. I wouldn't be surprised that there were food rewards that this mother has used to guide the child in that direction. And the mother will certainly, if you were to accuse her of that, she would certainly tell you that she didn't do it. But you did. We can see the effect on your child. I've been studying behavior since I'm 18 years old in animals. That's a rat in a maze right there. Cloudwarmer says, some years ago, Jordan Peterson said that in about 15, 25 years, when all these kids grow up, the lawsuits will be coming. That would be the best thing. Trans people rise. I'm with you. If you need an expert to say something for you in court or to give you guidance on civil law, I will do whatever I can. But yeah, it will be your responsibility because I didn't waste my life. I didn't ruin my balls. Most people didn't, but you have been victimized. You have been victimized by parents, health professionals, school officials of all kind. You've been lied to. All right. Say something positive about gay people. And someone answered in the Internet Hall of Fame, not only do they leave more girls for us, they take another dude with them. I think I had reviewed this tweet back in the days. It's good to remember. Yeah, it is a very good argument. You know, it's ultimately why you don't want to be anti-gay for everyone. Like, it's not your responsibility to turn everyone in Chicago not gay. You have a certain interest to favor heterosexuality within your genetic surrounding. And then if people are falling for anti-reproductive, anti-natalist bait out there, and they're unrelated to you genetically, let it go. You know, it's if you were to invest any form of effort, it would be cuckoldry in trying to change their behavior. Lendalt Guntram says, Jeff, you have been studying animal behavior in a more general sense much earlier than 18. You told us some stories, so we remember. Yeah, I mean, formally. I mean, as a job. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Since the earliest times of my childhood, I've been looking at humanity and blackpilling myself. You know, 9-year-old blackpill JF existed once. Parents can't opt out children out of LGBT lessons, according to a judge. Parents had sued the Montgomery County Public Schools in Maryland over the lessons after officials revoked their opt-out policy over the large number of opt-out requests. Oh, so you see what the game is. Oh, we're just offering LGBT classes. It's optional. You can opt out. But when parents actually opt out, it's like, oh, well, it's not optional anymore. In what world do you cancel a product because too many people want it? In what world does that make sense? It's in a world where you want to constrain people down a path. You didn't want to show originally your authoritarian side. So you thought you would isolate the parents who opt out. You thought they would be stuck and shamed for their choice, and it would be just one parent out of 1,000, and you'd give them trouble for it, and you'd put their child in a little room so that they're isolated, so that they learn nothing. But now all parents have chosen to opt out, and it's like, oh, well, that is too much. Now the mask falls, the authoritarian mask falls. It was a program to change the world. And a judge has now imposed this. She said the parents had not shown the policy would result in the indoctrination of their children or otherwise coerce their children to violate or change their religious beliefs. The problem is everything you do to children is coercion. That's why any sex with children is a rape. It's like you are statutorily raping these children with LGBT ideology. Children are not in a position to consent. Therefore, their parents must consent or not consent for them. That's ridiculous. Leave Maryland. Leave any leftist place. Homeschool. There's no choice. They're not going to leave you a choice. The choice is just until you choose it. It's just to make you believe there's a choice. Open borders for Israel, says Oliver Anthony, said, America is one big melting pot. Diversity is our strength. P.S. Aren't a lot of right-wing French intellectuals gay? I don't know about this. Right-wing French intellectuals. Are there right-wing French intellectuals? I don't even know who you are referring to. I don't know much, and I don't know that they would be gay. Maybe. You'd have to come up with a list. And as far as Oliver Anthony, I'm going to get to this subject very soon. I have all of his statements. We're going to review them. Cloud Warmer says, JF, why do we trust what minors say about life-altering decisions at such a young age? When my kid was little, he thought he was Batman for a while, then a YouTuber, then a garbage man driving a big truck. Now, as he's older, he wants to be an architect. I know this will change over and over. Yes, I agree. And it's an absolutely apt comparison to make, to say, hey, you would have to have parental permission to get a tattoo. And yet you don't have to have parental permission to go through all this gender change stuff. It's illustrative of what the LGBT movement truly is politically. It's an anti-natalist movement that is ultimately at odds with the idea of parental right. And it's not the other way around. It's not that they're really into LGBT identity and it turns out that parents are an obstacle to this. They hate parents. They hate parental rights. They hate heterosexuality. And to them, it's something to be broken, first and foremost. The LGBT stuff and various gender identity, that may change with time. In 30 years from now, they may be hung up on different gender definitions and different ways of doing. But they will always target parental right, because that's ultimately what these far-left Marxists are against, because they have properly understood that the world would never be headed toward Marxism if parental influence is still there. They have seen how Christian conservative people stem from Christian conservative families, and they want to break this. These are all the investigations and lawsuits against Trump, criminal cases, four of them, civil suits, marketing schemes, battery with E. Jean Carroll, repeated defamation. Yeah, I mean, this is legal harassment. Absolutely ridiculous. Cohen versus United States. Trump's former attorney Michael Cohen is suing the U.S. government and then President Trump for retaliatory imprisonment in connection to his book publication announced from home confinement. He may have a case, you know. I don't know how it works. The idea of writing a book while you're in jail, is this the First Amendment? I don't know how that works. Infamous BitConnect! Schiller Trevon James, jailed for failing to appear in a court for a Hex/Richard Hart related matter. Oh my god, the crackdown on crypto scams is going down. No.
So you were scheduled to appear in court on the 17th of August. You failed to appear.
Is this the black guy that was yelling BitConnect, or was this just one of the guys on stage, or was this a side guy? I would love it if it's the guy that yelled BitConnect. I would love to see him yell it to the policeman.
At which time the court judge issued a pickup order for contempt of court. I have to take you to J. Reuben Law.
You need to provide all the documents
pertaining to this case to come along with you. Do you understand what I'm explaining to you? Yeah, I'm going to ask your wife to do it. I'm going to place you in the car. You know where all the documents are that he needs to take along for the court case?
No.
Okay, so people in the surrounding of Richard Hart starting to go to jail. Hey, I had featured Richard Hart on my show. I hope they don't get to me for this. I mean, I was interviewing Richard Hart as a true journalist. I haven't received any reward for it. I'm happy that I didn't. Yeah, because Joel Surratt says, you failed to appear, Jeff. What's your defense? You got your documents? I mean, I could have been in trouble if I had taken a slice there. I mean, I would be in that case because by bringing Richard Hart publicly, I gave some exposure to him. If for that exposure I had been paid in X or Richard Hart somehow giving me something under the table, I would be in big trouble. I'm thankful that I have this kind of naive journalistic approach and actual curiosity with the world, but I don't need to get a slice of the stuff I cover because I could have been in big trouble today. Fadam says the atheism movement of 2005 was also very anti-parent. Yeah, in a way, we'll see many iterations of different leftist ways of attacking the family. And that's why it's so reassuring to see Barbie as a mainstream movie just standing with the family. Cloud Warmer says the Biconek guy is Carlos Matos. Okay, so it wasn't this guy. DOJ needs to sue themselves, says Elon Musk. The DOJ is suing Elon Musk and SpaceX for focusing their hiring on U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Do you know who else advertises that only U.S. citizens can apply for a job? The DOJ. This is fascinating. The DOJ wants to hire a recreation specialist. Okay, so, oh my God, what is this? Is this someone who entertains the employees to keep them in a good mood? Or is this someone who's responsible for caring about children while the employees are at work? Look at this. No supervisory status. U.S. citizenship is required. Oh. Elon Musk says, I just can't. Rolling on the floor, laughing my ass off. The irony is too much. The DOJ is saying that Elon has discriminated against refugees, but they're doing it also. Blanket says, JF would be in trouble for having him on the show. Well, if I had him on the show while receiving a kind of founder's payment, which often happens, by the way, all the crypto shows out there, they're all getting a little slice of the people they feature. They've all turned, their exposition of a project as their business. And because they drive traffic to these new tokens, they very often ask the founders of the token, you have to give me $500,000 of those or $1 million of those. And maybe it's worth, like, the fees are maybe between $10,000 and $200,000 worth of whatever currency they get. I could very well have done that kind of thing, but I never did because it's always been my sense that my interest in crypto is from an observer's perspective. I'm not an insider in the sense that I don't benefit other than the crypto I buy. Just like I tell you, I bought Bitcoin. Well, I benefit from the rise of the price of Bitcoin, but I'm transparent about it. I don't have all of the projects we featured back in the days of Satoshi Street Bets. We were welcoming a new interview every week, and I've never received payments from any of these guys. Cloudwarmer says, BeConnect is Carlos Matos. Yes, I've read your earlier chat. Imagine not having the liberty to maintain a tame comment on sex being something you can't choose and having to apologize for it immediately. What's the point of having artists if they can't have freedom of thought and must adjust their beliefs to corporate or market demands? That was in response to Carlos Santana. At the end of a show or somewhere between the show, he said on the mic, you know, I feel that you and I can feel it, you know, when you feel that you're really, really a boy or a girl, you should be a boy or a girl. It wasn't clear, but he was basically saying, accept what God made of you as a boy or a girl, and it's not about your feeling. And basically, he was saying, fuck this whole LGBT radicalism. But he already cocked, like, less than 24 hours later. Carlos Santana has apologized for making anti-transgender comments. Oh, okay, it was back in July. Those comments, they just surfaced recently, but it was back in July. But okay, he has apologized. Our artists are just not free. They are business stands for ideology. Swing It says, hey, JF, the other day you forgot to check my entropy message. It said, hey, JF, what would you say are your top 5 streams that you've made this year that we ought to watch? Well, I did catch it, but I caught it very late in the show after I started the outro. So go watch the show again, and you will see that I stopped the outro. I went back, and I answered your super chat late in the show. I gave you some list of streams that I found interesting in the last 3 months. You definitely want to check out the Barbie review. The Barbie review is good. Tiffany review is good. Tiffany apologizes, lost control of emotion. The Oppenheimer review is interesting. Impressive Nick performance, my analysis of the Nick performance, and my explanation to the Tate brothers what the Matrix is made of. Those are some of my best streams in the last few months, but I did answer to you at the end during the outro. Claude Warmer says, Jeff, did you see that scientist recorded brain waves listening to music? How long until they can hear my thoughts listening to your show? Have I seen? This has been going on forever. This is not new. We do brain imaging in all sorts of context. Okay, recreate the Pink Floyd song. The problem is always bits. Like, you're going to recreate the Pink Floyd song, okay, but could you recreate from instrumental synthesizers the full score of the song? No, you couldn't. So what you've probably done is you've combined certain segments of audio and you've trained a brain machine, a brain interface to calculate the little spots of illumination in the brain and predict where you are at in the song. And so the question is how many possible songs could you do? Because if you give the computer Pink Floyd and I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world, the computer will always know, because the computer will just detect, okay, brain signals tell me that the guy is listening to Pink Floyd. And he's just going to answer Pink Floyd, Pink Floyd, Pink Floyd, Pink Floyd. You've not really recreated the song. You've made a binary decision in the computer. And that binary decision, the computer turns out to always be right about, because your brain acts very differently when it's listening to Pink Floyd versus when it's listening to Barbie girl. So you'd have to, I would have to dig into the details of this study. My guess is it's not very high bandwidth, as Elon Musk would characterize it. These techniques are crap, and you say, how long till they can read your thoughts? Never. Never, because you have brain imaging that is non-invasive, and it's absolute crap. It detects stuff late. You can't really think your way into it. You know, all these early devices that said, oh yeah, we're gonna record the EEGs from your brain. The problem is the EEG doesn't extract very low latency, very high informational content. Like, people were forcing to think. I want to think left, go left, left. And the problem is the EEG is more likely to detect your muscle activity, your facial muscle, as you get pissed off that it's not going left. And now the EEG goes left, but it's like you forced yourself, and you had to force your facial muscles. And don't forget, the facial muscles right here are closer to the electrode than your brain. Your facial muscle is sending much more signals to the EEG than your brain is. So this particular study was with electrodes inside the brain. It's not super much better. You get a little higher information, a little lower latency, but it's a couple of bits, brain-machine interface. Couple of bits doesn't give you the control that you would expect from anything more than a very small keyboard with not much touches, or a very dysfunctional mouse. And we're talking about inserting surgically this thing in your brain. We're not talking about reading your mind from the other side of the street in a complex environment. So Oliver Anthony has exposed himself as non-political, normie, and in my view, leftist, because there's a point of disengagement with politics at which you are merely discouraging engagement in the fight to the point where you can only lead leftists to win. Because the leftists don't need to be convinced to be in the fight. They are out there trying to fight Trump, trying to fight the imaginary fascism that they perceive in society. So there's a point at which, if you're too much of a normie and too disengaged, you become a leftist for me. He says, I don't support either side politically. Not the left, not the right. I'm about supporting people and restoring local communities. The problem is that the basis of local community is the family networks, and you know, extended networks around the family. And these structures are under attack by the left. So if you are to restore these structures, there is no project of society that can work in that direction without neutralizing the institutional influence of the left. Because as long as the left is in the elementary schools convincing your children that they should revolt against the authority of their parents, that they should go live a city life dependent on the state and big corporations, that they should slave away not only their work for low wages, but also their reproductive capacities for the LGBT project, you won't get a local community. It's like, as long as you haven't neutralized the left's attack on this, you don't have a family and you don't have a local community. He says, now go breathe some fresh air and relax, please. I'm not worth obsessing over, I promise. Go spend time with your loved ones. I, Hypocrite, has the perfect paraphrasing of this. He says, I don't support either side. Not the people who love me and turned me into an overnight sensation, and not the people who would happily see me ruined just because the other group loves me. I support nothing. I stand for nothing but empty platitudes. Diversity is our strength. That is perfectly said. That is what I perceive in this message. And Nick Fuentes was going after him because this guy's name on Twitter is Ain't Got a Dollar. Ain't Got a Dollar. In this kind of black attitude type of way.
What do we want to be? Who do we want to be? What is our soul? Who's the authentic American? This guy who ain't got a dollar, or Donald Trump? You know, maybe Oliver Anthony supports Trump and maybe Trump likes a song. I don't know. That's besides the point. The point is what they represent. And what Oliver Anthony represents, even his name on Twitter, at ain't got a dollar. That's his at. Really? Is that who we are? I ain't got a dollar. What are we, black? I ain't got...
He goes on to point to the resemblance between this kind of speech and rapper speech. And he says, he basically goes on to say that it's a form of white trashing, what this guy does. It's a form of using black speech to look poorer. It's very interesting, the analysis of Nick Fuentes on this. And we have some video statements from Oliver Anthony.
What I want out of this, like for the general public,
yeah,
it's for people to, I guess, for one, to stop relying on somewhere, on someone 150 or 500 miles away from them to, like, solve their problems for them. Like, nobody in Washington, D.C., no one in the federal government's coming to save us.
Well, but they're not going to save us, but it's worse. They're coming to ruin your local community. They're coming to ruin your life. And if you don't have a project against this, it really doesn't... You won't build anything durable locally as long as you don't understand the war against it nationally.
Like, the people that are going to save us are each other. You know, local relationships. Like, even families are torn apart.
It's going to protect you, probably because the way you will arrange these local relationships will just align with forms of bigotry, like, but by random. You'll be able to argue, oh yeah, I'm not a bigot. Oh, but here's my 50 white friends and we're happy. We have a very good local community. The problem is, this is good if you have the instinct to follow this, but it's not communicable. And there is a war against communication of what leads to a good local community, the way you describe it. You can't even say it on YouTube.
Like, I made an example in one post about, and I've seen this in my own household at times, where you'll have a whole family under the same roof, and instead of them spending time with each other and caring about each other, every one of them sitting there just looking at their own piece of technology, like, yeah, completely self-absorbed in that and not any...
Okay, so he's one of these artists who complains against people being absorbed by pieces of technology. I know this kind of guy. They are normies, really. They are in communication with the physical universe. And to them, the virtual world is this other thing. It's okay to be that way. I'm not that way at all. To me, my real life is on the internet, see? To me, it's like the way this guy sees people in front of their screen, that's how I see people when I go to the grocery store. I see them connecting with the real world, and I'm like, holy shit, they really are absorbed by it.
It's aggravating seeing people on conservative news.
Like, seriously, I see two people just encountering each other at the grocery store, and they go into this 30 minutes long discussion, and I'm like, holy shit, these guys are totally absorbed by the real world, totally inefficient about it. Like, they could not have met, in which case they wouldn't have lost this 30 minutes But they have met, and now they are absorbed with each other. They talk to each other. Oh, how have you been doing? Oh, yeah, this happened to my son. This happened to my daughter. Blah, 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 blah. It's like the way he finds it bizarre how we are connecting with the screen. I find it bizarre that people are connecting to each other that way.
Just try to identify with me like I'm one of them.
So he takes issue with the conservatives and the right wingers having basically been welcoming of his song and defending it basically as if it was a right wing song. And see, I've taken that precaution. I've never defended this song. And I said, okay, there's some interesting things said in there, but I'm kind of worried about the sense of entitlement that comes out of this song. To me, from the beginning, it's been a kind of left-wing song. But there are themes in it, like the pedo stuff and the fat welfare recipients that you're like, okay, there's some sort of right-wing realizations, but overall, the message of the song is very leftist.
Aggravating seeing certain musicians and politicians act like we're buddies and act like we're fighting the same struggle here, like that we're trying to present the same message. You know, I've had a lot of people reach out to me, and I tried to be polite to everybody, and I've talked to hundreds of people the last 2 weeks. But it seems like certain people want to just ride the attention of this song to maybe make them their own selves relevant, and that's aggravating as hell. The other thing that I find aggravating is, well, you know, like, it was funny seeing my song in the... It was funny seeing it at the presidential debate. Because it's like, I wrote that song about those people, you know? So for them to have to sit there and listen to that, that cracks me up. but it was funny kind of seeing the response to it. Like, that song has nothing to do with Joe Biden, you know?
So, well, it does, right? It does.
A lot bigger than Joe Biden.
Okay, it's bigger, but it has to do with Joe Biden. But the fact that he said, see, I'm worried there. Joe Biden is the example of a political crony. The exact kind of guy described in the song.
That song is written about the people on that stage, and a lot.
So that song is written about the Republicans on the Republican debate stage? But it's not about Joe Biden. That sounds like Democrat talk here.
More, too. Not just them, but definitely them.
Okay, there's a guy named Thomas. I banned him recently from the show because yesterday was like, Jeff, you exposed yourself as a fraud. And he wasn't even explaining in his comments what was it that how did I expose myself as a fraud? Now he's coming back under an alternative nickname, Tom's Wheelhouse. He says, oh, you're going to tell him what his intention was? Okie dokie, Jeff. I am free to evaluate people's intention, but more importantly, a song is a written set of words that is absolutely public and analyzable. I can say this song is about Joe Biden, and it can be true independent of what his intent was. You know, it doesn't matter if he thought about Joe Biden while he wrote the song. In the end, he ended up describing political cronies like Joe Biden. So yes, I have the total right to evaluate what this song is about as a public product. Tom, I would just recommend, just relax. I'm an open guy. I actually love being wrong. I love when someone comes and forces me to be wrong on something by saying, hey, Jeff, let me take you through and I'll show you where you're wrong. But you have been, you've been sending like 3 messages on the last show and they were all just yelling at me and, you know, all caps type of speech, but they were not rational. You have some hate inside of you. I can't even tell from from your eightfold messages what part of the show you took issue with. Like, we're not even at the point where I can even discern where is it that I've said something that hurt you. He says, that's BS. Well, try me. Just tell me what is it that you took issue with in the last show. I mean, we're getting toward the end, but I have time to hear you. And so what is it that you took issue with from the last show, Tom? Anyways, in conclusion, for the red hair man, a typical artist who may be good with words and music to some extent, not a genius, but kind of good. But all they can do is bark. That's what the artist can do. They can bark, but they can't act. Because once you get into the true understanding of the political game, you understand it as a binary game, where yes, you will be constrained to side with a team that you don't like. That is what, it's important. It's an important political realization, especially for people like this guy, Oliver Antony, and Brett Weinstein. I care deeply about character and about logical precision, so I'll never be a Trump fan. That said, he's being railroaded in the most unpatriotic conceivable way, and that does elevate him in my eyes. Trump's enemies are our enemies, enemies of the West. And yeah, you missed a chance, Brett, when you voted for Tulsi Gabbard. Because once, if you can understand the binary of American politics, you will understand that you could have protected America from the enemies of the West. If you could just have accepted, okay, I don't agree with Trump's stance on this and that and this, but I'm still going to protect the West against the enemies of the West. You could have done this, and you could have brought a lot of people with you if you had the courage in 2020 to say, I stand with Trump. Trump is maybe bad in all sorts of ways, but he's not an enemy of the West. And Joe Biden is an enemy of the West. And when you vote for Tulsi Gabbard instead of Trump, you are letting an enemy of the West pass by and take control of the West. And that is the same thing we have to explain to the Oliver Antony of this world. You are a very feely person. You feel all these things. That's good. But you are terrible at action planning. And your local project for local communities will go to shit when all of your children are brainwashed by the enemies of the West. What do you think led her to do this? Okay, random black woman just breaks out of nowhere on the highway. Did she put a brake on the accelerator? The car keeps going. Assault with the car. She has decided to let her car go. Swing It says it was crack. I don't know what led her to do it. Crack could be an explanation. Mark Dees says stolen car that she doesn't care about. Yeah, it could be that she just wanted to disappear and she knew she would be found with this car, so she let it go and ran. I have no idea. Yale Cup Union scares new students with Grim Reaper crime flyers. The incidence of crime and violence in New Haven is shockingly high and is getting worse. Burglaries are up 33%. Motor vehicle thefts are up 56%. stay off the streets after 8 p.m. The Grim Reaper, and that is by a union of policemen who are, I guess, trying to negotiate higher salary or something. Interesting. I think it's fine for the police to remind people, and especially leftists and liberals in universities, to tell them your security is on us. That reminds me of La Chute de l'Empire Américain by, my God, I forget the name of this great director, this great Denis Arcand. Denis Arcand, and at the end of this movie, someone who initially was a doctorate of philosophy, but finds himself being unemployed, and he runs away with a bag that has lots of money, but loses. He moves it to a offshore a tax haven. And they end up working along. He ends up working alongside a policeman at a donation place that gives free food to homeless people. And the policeman says, and they talk about revolution, and they talk about the appeal of revolting against the system, throwing down the system. And the police says, you know, in the end, all that holds in society is because of us. If the police was to give up, the system can crash in an instant. And so it's good to see policemen use this as their negotiating power. But I don't think it will awaken the youth of Yale University. From the 70s through the early 2000s, Germany ran the Kentler Project. They took young homeless boys and made them live with gay men with the intent for them to be raped. They theorized it was good for older men to have sex with children. Not a single person has been jailed or held accountable. Germany is a failed state. And people were laughing their ass off because that's a statement by Jake Shields. And there's a community note. And the community note says, Kentler was placing children with pedophiles, not gay men. Arousal studies show homosexual pedophiles are aroused to prepubescent boys, whereas gay men are not. I love that at no point in this community note is it saying, no, that is absolutely false. That did not happen. All that this community note does is, wait a minute, it wasn't all gay people who were raping boys. It was just a subset of gay people. They were gay pedophiles. Okay, thank you for the precision. Thank you. Oh yeah, there was also this other news. I just want to sell titty pictures, sex workers fucked by crypto. These women want to sell titty pictures, but they can't understand crypto. I don't want to have to know how to run money to different places. I don't want to deal with any of this bullshit. Come and see me. We'll set a business. I'll be taking a very small rate. Come and see me. Come and see Papa JF. I will handle your crypto.
Mm-hmm.